I'm so glad to be here, and I just want to share about my life and about my ministry in India, how the Lord is, how the Spirit of God is moving in India. And first, I want to share with you how I came to the Lord, my experience with Him. First time, you know, when I had an encounter with Jesus, it was when I was in class 10, you know, and I'd finished my high school, and so after high school, I had to go to another school, and because I was late in admissions, and also I thought, because my mother was a principal in a government girls' inter college, and she was a well-known person in that town, so I thought to myself, even if I am late, doesn't matter. My mother is a principal. Surely she will help me get admission in the college. You know, so my mother, she goes to the principal of that college. It was one of the best schools in my hometown called Nainital. Brother Paul has been there. So I went to that. My mother goes to the principal, and she talks to the principal and says, oh, can you help my son get admission in your institution? I'm sorry, he's 4 months late, but can you help him? So the principal says to my mother, you're a principal too. Will you do anything wrong in your school? Mother said, no, I will never do anything wrong. So the principal said, even I will not do anything wrong. So she comes back home. And when she's there, I said, Mommy, what happened? She said, sorry, you cannot go into that school. You have to find another one for yourself. Find a government school. You cannot go into a public school. Principal is very strict. Then she stopped and she said, there's only one help for you. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. So my way of going to Jesus was, okay, let's see what Jesus says about my situation in the Bible. And that time I was not a believer. You know, I was in love with Jesus. I used to like Jesus, but I never gave my life to him. I prayed to him. I went to church, you know, but I never gave my life to him. So I had a New Testament, the Gideon's Green New Testament, you know. I said, okay, Lord, I had closed it. I said, Lord, what do you want to say in this situation to me? Please speak to me. And I closed the Bible and I opened the Bible. And I said, Lord, which verse, which word do you want to speak to? And I put my finger there. And it says, when you pray, go to your Father who's in secret. Close your door. Go to your inner room and pray. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. You know, I just believe the word. I believe that Jesus is speaking to me. And I said, I must obey this word. It's not like just God has spoken to me. Okay, he will reward me and I go out. But he says, go to your room. Close your door. Pray. That's how God works. Pray. Your Father sees you in secret. Wow. I was very excited when I read this verse, your Father will see you in secret. I said, oh, God is going to watch me. God is going to look at me. So quickly I went into my room. I closed my door and I knelt down for the first time in my life. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, the moment I enter into my school, touch the heart of the principal. The moment he sees me, let him say, come in, Simon. Sit down. Fill this form. You know, I had a picture in my mind. And when I prayed, I had so much joy, so much happiness, so much peace in my heart, as if my work is done. You know? So with confidence in the Lord and trust in the Lord, I just went there. And exactly what I had desired in my heart happened. I knocked at the door. He said, come in. Please sit down. He presses his bell. Ring, ring. Bring two coffee. Wow. For me, he's bringing coffee. Then he says, he signs a form. Go. You're admitted. Go to the vice principal. Come school from tomorrow. Hallelujah. So this was my first experience with the Lord. I just knew in my spirit that God hears. He loves me. He cares for me. And he's a God who answers prayers, and nothing is impossible for him. You know, this I just believed after this miracle happened in my life. You know, faith towards God came in my heart. God kind of faith entered into my spirit. But then as a young boy, you know, I forgot everything. Went into school. Got accompanied with my boys, you know, my friends. And I lost this miracle. This miracle was in my life, but I just didn't give my life to the Lord that time. So I went into college, and I had a very good career in politics, but my mother always was worried about me. And she was a praying woman. Thank God for women, for mothers who pray. I remember I used to come home late in the night. Sometimes I used to drink. And I would quietly, I would sleep. She would never say a word to me, you know. But in the morning, her bed was next to me. In the morning, I would hear at 6 o'clock, she would be praying. She would be thanking God for my life. And I'm listening to her with my head covered in the quilt there. And that was tormenting for me. Because I knew in the evening I will again do something bad. So again I will come. So it went for years like that, you know. Every morning I heard her prayer. Oh, I repented. Sorry, Jesus. Sorry. Sorry, Jesus. But again, when I used to go with my friends, I used to drink, I used to go to club, and just in the world. But every time, she never said anything bad to me. And she said, Simon, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. That's all she used to say to me. So after things began worse in my political career, so I had to leave my hometown. And I had to go and find a job for myself. My mother said, oh, you will never stay in Nainital now. You can never stay. So I had to go and find a job for myself. So these days, on those days, my mother used to write letters to me. No email, no phone, no cell phone. So one day she wrote to me, Simon, Jesus has the best job for you. So I thought, oh, Jesus wants me to go. And the best company, the most famous company, tea company. So I thought, let me go interview in that best tea company. So I went there, I gave my interview, and the person did select me, and he said, okay, we got 2 months, you know. Within the 2 months, you can go home and bring your belongings and then come to Assam. Assam was the place I was working. And Mummy read, you have got the best job. You will get the best job. So I come to Delhi. In Delhi, I come and I meet an old sister of mine. She was a very worldly girl when I met her, when she was young. So I thought, oh, I'll go to her. We'll go for a movie. She'll treat me to some good food. I'll spend some time with her. But to my surprise, she got saved. And she got married to a pastor. I said, how can she marry a pastor? She was so worldly. She loved the world. You know, how can she marry a pastor? You know, these thoughts came into my heart. And she said, Simon, please come to my house. Stay, spend the night. Meet my husband. Have dinner with me. You know, my habit is, I don't say no to anybody, you know. I said, okay, let's go to your house. Let's meet the pastor. She was very fair. And pastor was South Indian, very black. And in her young age, she used to like handsome guys, you know. So said, oh man, how did he marry such a pastor? He's so good looking and he's black. You know, this was what I thought. How can she get married to such a man? And he was a South Indian. He used to wear a dhoti, not a pant. And in South India, you wear a dhoti. So she was talking to me, witnessing about Jesus, sharing with me how she came to the Christ. So in the middle of the night, the husband comes. What are you doing? 2 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, there is church. Sleep so that you could get early. He had to have a heavy voice. So when I see him in the morning, his face changed. His face was glowing. Nice tie, white, black suit, white shirt, nice tie. His face was shining. And I was saying, what happened to this man, you know? His face changed. And in one moment, he came to the pulpit. I was sitting on the first three seats, the third seat. And he comes in. He moves his tie like that. You know, I am doing the best job in the world. I am a God servant. And he said, there was an American embassy number 3 sitting just behind me. He said, look at that man. He's a government servant. He serves a government. And I serve God. The moment he said these words, you know, my mother's letter, the Holy Spirit reminded me the words my mother wrote, oh, you're going to do the best job in the world. So I thought, is this the best job? Is this the job that the Lord you want me to do? I'm just talking to myself. My head is down in a chair and I'm talking. I'm thinking, is this the best job? Is this the best job? To be honest, I didn't hear the sermon that day. I was just thinking, is this the best job? Is this the best job? So the meeting finishes and the pastor comes to me. He said, Simon, we are going for lunch. And they were going to a 5-star hotel, you know. I said, do you like to come? I said, yes, sure. I said, who will cook at home? My sister is an air hostess. She will go on the flight. So let me go and have food with them. So I go and have food with them. So he was, pastor was smart, you know. He was a soul winner. So after lunch, he said, Simon, we have an evening service too. And I want you to come to the evening service also. We have a superintendent of Assemblies of God coming. And he's preaching tonight. Please come. Then he says, okay, we will do like this. You come home, have a cup of tea with me, and we all will come together. And you know, pastor was trying to catch me, you know. So I thought, okay. Since he was meeting him for the first time, I could say no to him. So the evening service, the pastor is preaching. There were 17 people sitting there. One was from Iran, one was from Africa, old people, few old people. And he says, in the middle of this preaching, he stops. And he says, there's someone sitting here who will stir Delhi for Jesus. The moment he said that, you know, I said to myself, am I the man? Am I the man? You know? And the pastor, then he comes and walks in front of me, close to me. He shakes hands with me. And he said, God is speaking to you, young man. The moment he said that, the Spirit of God came upon me. It was like I was electrocuted. Fire of God came upon me. But I still doubted. I said, how can God use me, you know? So I looked around. Oh, he's an Iranian. He will go after his studies. Oh, he's from Africa. He will also go. They are old people. They will be in their 90s. So I think God is speaking to me, you know? And I said, Lord, if you really want me to serve you, please speak to me one more time. That my mother writes to me in the letter. And she quoted Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. For he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted. To open the eyes of the blind. To liberate those who are in bondage. And to preach the acceptable year. So I thought to myself. Every mother writes good scriptures to his son. She's writing good scriptures to encourage me. But then again, second thought came, Lord, if it is you, I said, Lord, please confirm these words. Confirm these words. And I will obey you. You know, this is what I told. So I slept in the night, you know, and tomorrow, when I woke up in the morning, next morning, I was all alone in my room, nobody in my room. And morning, my Luke chapter 4, you know, the same scripture is quoted in Luke chapter 4, was folded in my Bible like this. Somebody had folded it like this. And I opened it and it was folded. I said, I never fold my Bible. I never used to fold my books. Who folded this for me? You know? And the word came, Jesus. Jesus did. The moment came, I felt crying, you know. I said, how can this be? Jesus really wants me to serve him. So that day, you know, I just knelt down and I gave my life to the Lord. I said, God, from today, I'm all yours. I'm leaving my job. I'm not going back to Assam. I just give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my body. Just use me the way you want me to use. You know, and I was praying this prayer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, to my heart. He said, Simon, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. And these words touched my heart, you know. So I told my mother, I said, okay, the Lord has confirmed me. And now I'm going to serve Jesus. See how mothers are? Now when I give my life to Jesus, she says, oh, how can you serve Jesus? You have studied in a good school. You have to work. Even she didn't know what she was saying, you know. But she was writing. But anyway, from that day, I gave my life to the Lord. And I started fasting and prayer. I fell in love with Jesus after that. I was to lock myself in a room, read the Bible over and over again, over and over again. You know, I heard a speaker say about Oral Roberts that when he gave his life to the Lord, on his knees, he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts. So I did the same thing. You know, on my knees, I read the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and now my miracle story starts from there. And one day I was fasting, very hungry. It was a Friday. Brother Paul knows this story. Very hungry. And I say, Lord, provide. You said you will provide for me. So my sister walks in. And she says, I said, Madhu, her name is Madhu. I said, Madhu, please give me 20 rupees so that I can buy a dinner for myself. She said, oh, you're a young man. You should work. Are you asking your sister money? Your sister, she's younger to you. I'm younger to you. You're older to me. You should give me money. And you're asking me money. She said that. You don't work, sleep the whole day, read the Bible, pray, and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I got very hurt. And how can she say that like this to me? Then I said, listen, Jesus will provide me food today, okay? He will bring butter chicken for me. He will bring naan for me. Is that okay? She says, okay, let's see. If your Jesus can provide butter chicken for you, if your Jesus can provide naan for you. You know, so I said these words as my nature was to think, you know, what I have said, I was thinking. So I just slept again, put a bed sheet over my head. I think, where will butter and chicken come from? Where will naan come from? I have spoken these words. Where will it come from? To my surprise, 9:30 p.m., my mother knocks at the door. Tuck, 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 tuck. And she gives me a packet. He says, I'm just coming from the restaurant. I thought your sister would be on flight. You would be all alone at home. So I've packed some food for you. Go warm it up and eat. So I went to the kitchen. Butter chicken. Naan. I said, oh my Lord. I just knelt there in my kitchen. I said, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, but more thank you was to show my sister. So I ate the butter chicken and I brought all the bones and I told mother, Madhu, take. Jesus provided butter chicken for me. Jesus provided naan for me. And she said, ah. So this was a miracle that Jesus did of divine provision in my life, you know. And what he promised that I will provide for you, he fulfilled in my life. Then my pastor came to know about me, that I have given my life to Jesus. You know, so he said, Simon, come to India. Come to India. But during this time, you know, I had to make a very strong decision in my life. You know, obedience is what Jesus is looking for. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So, as a young boy, I used to like a girl. She was an air hostess, my sister's friend. Very pretty girl. You know, every young man would like to have a pretty girl like her as a friend. I feel used to proud with her. When I used to go to the restaurant, to go out, everybody will look at us. She was very pretty. So before I came, was going to go to Nainital, my pastor said, oh, there is a pastor coming from New Jersey. Could you just drop him to the airport? I said, okay, sure, I will drop him. What's the problem? So the pastor comes and he said, you know, my flight is at not 24th, but 25th morning, early morning. So can I spend the night with you? I said, please do. So we had a folding bed, you know, like one folding bed, the pastor slept, one first folding bed, I slept. And he was from African and African American, so he slept. In the middle of the night, 2:30, he wakes me up. He said, son, get up. I have a word from the Lord for you. You know, like all dark, lights off. And I couldn't even see his face. And he said, son, get up. I got afraid. You know, like to speak to a teenager, the Lord is speaking to you, get up. Those words are quite arresting, you know. So I'm just, I said, okay, let me switch on the light. So I said, what did the Lord say? No, get a pen and get a pencil. Paper, get a pen and a paper. So he divided two lines. Then he says, God's plan. And he wrote, Satan's plan. He says, you have two plans. One is God's plan and one is Satan's plan. So he wrote God's plan. And he was a prophet. And he told me, Simon, you are involved in love with a girl. She's got this much hair. Her height is this much. She is oval-faced, fair. And she has a mole here. So how does he know she has a mole? You know? And this is not the girl for your life. If you say you love Jesus with all of your heart, she's not the one for you. Read God's plan, and tomorrow morning, make a decision, and then I will pray for you. I couldn't sleep that night. I went to the toilet to read God's plan and Satan's plan. So the morning I wake up, you know, and I said, no, I must obey God. I must obey God. In my heart it was coming. You know, it was so difficult to say no to that lady, you know. So difficult. You know, flesh and spirit were fighting, you know. There was a fight. Flesh said, why, what a life. She is an air hostess. Even if you don't work for so many years, fine, she will take care of you. 5-star hotel stay. Free aeroplane. What a life. No, you have to go all the world. You don't have to pay for your ticket. All these thoughts were coming to my mind. But then the words of Jesus, I will provide for you. And my mother's letter, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And this pastor, God's plan, Satan's plan. Wow, what a fight, you know. So suddenly I called that lady. I said, I'm sorry. I've given my life to Jesus. Then she says, you will leave me for Jesus? You will leave me for Jesus. I love you. I said, no, Jesus loves me more than you. And suddenly boldness came into my spirit, heart, you know. I said, you know, I can leave 100 girls like you for Jesus. And she said, go to. I won't use the word. And she slams the phone down. And that was all over. I never saw her face again. And she never saw my face again. And suddenly, her name was Duty Pie. And I prayed, Lord, I thank you for giving me grace to obey you. And I was praying, you know, the name of duty was deleted out of my heart, out of my system, you know. And I felt, wow, I feel like nothing happened to me. You know, people fall in love, they cry when the breakup is there, they weep. But why am I so happy? So after this, my pastor, he called me to Nainital. He said, Simon, there's a team coming from America, and you have to be the interpreter. I said, where? Which place? He said, Nainital. But Nainital is my hometown. Very small hometown. Everybody knows each other there. Everybody knows each other there. So I thought, Pastor, yeah, he knows I'm from Nainital. He knows I used to speak in elections. He used to know I used to drink and walk around all the street going with my friends like this. I did all kind of bad things there. Everybody knows me. How can I go and preach there? You know? And the Holy Spirit was working in my heart. You know? I read, Paul said, you know, when I came, now it's no longer I have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ Jesus that lives in me. So I thought, this verse began to speak to my heart. My nature was not to say no. So I told the pastor, okay, pastor, I will interpret. So the pastor says, okay. So they made me an angel, you know. You know, it was a youth of the mission team. So they wanted to do a dance first before preaching. So they painted my face. They wore me blue clothes, silver wings. All my friends came to see silver wings, blue dress. What is Simon doing? First, he's with the elections guy. Then he becomes a cricketer. Now he's caught some Americans and he's dancing with them. Now close to 400 people came to see me. What is Simon doing? What is he doing? You know, and the leader of the team says, Simon, you got to preach today. I said, no, please, I don't know how to preach. No, you got to preach. I give you 5 minutes, go prepare yourself and come and preach. So I go to a corner, there was a bandstand, Brother Paul has seen, very corner. So I said to myself, I said, Lord, please save me. Please save me, Jesus. Cover me under your blood. And Jesus, you always use the Americans, you know. I heard T.L. Osborne, John Osteen, and big American name. I said, Lord, you always use the Americans. Please use me today. Please, Jesus. So I preached. You know, I didn't know what to preach, you know. So I said, Jesus answers all prayers. In the name of Jesus, the blind see, the deaf hear. The moment I say deaf hear, there was a deaf man there. His brother raised his hand. Sir, my brother is deaf. Please pray for him. I said, oh my God, now I'm caught. Then I said, okay, don't worry. We have a man of God from America. He will pray for the deaf. God always listens to him. Don't worry. You know, so the man of God, the leader, he looks at me, Simon, you are preaching. You said, Jesus, here. I never said that. You got to pray. You know? So I thought, for sure, they're going to beat me today. For sure. I know my friends, you know. So they will take me to a corner and surely they will beat me. So I said, Lord. So I thought to myself, you know, my carnal mind was working that time. So I took this man to a corner. And there was a lake downstairs, down the steps. So I sat, I thought to myself, if this man doesn't get healed, I will jump from here and I will run home. I will leave the Americans, you know. And this man was standing. So the moment I looked at his face, I heard a voice. It was the most powerful voice that I ever heard in my life. I still remember those words. That changed my life forever. He said, who heals? The word was, who heals? And he was sitting, this man was nice next to me. I said, who heals? I said, Jesus heals. The moment I said, Jesus heals, this man jumps. Oh, I can hear. I can hear. I can hear. I said, no, 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 you are lying. Don't tell lies. No, I can hear. I said, no, you are lying here. We have a fight. So this cousin, his cousin brother, he puts his ear. He says, one. He says, one. Two, two. Oh, man. Everybody was clapping. Now, my friends thought Simon has become a father. You know, in the Catholic father, you see a father, Catholic father. Father. And to my surprise, they stole all the New Testaments. Is this the book that changed his life? This is the book that changed his life? Just to read that book. What is in this book that changed Simon's life? They stole all the New Testaments to read it. So that was quite an experience with me. You know, then after this experience, you know, I knew for certain that the Lord has a purpose in my life. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to send me to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. You know, I said these verses, I used to confess every day. I used to thank the Lord every day. You know, then since my sister was living alone, I had to come to Delhi again. So in Delhi, we started a church. And, you know, God used me to bring a revival in the Methodist and the CNI and the nominal churches. People were getting born again. They were being baptized in water. You know, so the Lord said, start a church. So we started a church, and we started with five people. Five people, we started a church. And within 6 months, that church grew to 250 people. You know, and since the people all around us were seeing that Hindus are coming to the church, so one day they called the police. And the policeman said, listen, stop all this. Stop all this. You know, we were praising God, intense worship. You know, I was filled with the Spirit praising God. And this policeman says, stop the worship. I said, listen, I cannot stop this. If you have the power, you stop it. You know, I don't know what happened to him. He put his hands like this, and he walked backwards. Like this. Like this. Even he went down the stairs backward. You know, like this. And he never came back again. So our church grew, it grew. And one day, I was coming from the borders of Delhi. And I met a man. And I asked him, just casually, I didn't mean to evangelize him. And I said to him, do you know Jesus? He was like 35 kilometers away from Delhi. And he says, if you tell me his address, then I will tell you where the man lives. Just 35 kilometers away, people never knew the name of Jesus. So that really touched my heart, you know. And I just came back home. I called my friends. I said, listen, this is what happened to me. And from today, I believe that I have to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I have to preach Jesus to every creature. Church is good. We have a church. But I have a greater work to do, you know. And I was praying in the Spirit. The Lord spoke to me. He said, don't look at your 300 people. There are 3 million outside who wants to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so I thought, Lord, if this is from you, please help me, provide for me so that I can go and go to the villages, hire tents, PA systems, and go to every village and preach the gospel there. Suddenly a friend of mine and Brother Paul's common friend came. He said, oh, I know a man in America. He likes to feed people. He likes to feed people. I said, okay. And he can send you money so that you can feed the people. So I thought, what good is feeding the people? You feed them and their soul go to hell. They die without Jesus. So I told this man, I said, you tell your friend that no, we won't only feed them, but we will preach the gospel to them also. And he agreed to the idea. You know? And this is how evangelistic meetings started, you know, We were doing very good. Church ministry, 300 plus people, all non-Christians. You know, but the Lord put in my heart to go to the unreached people who have never, ever heard the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when I was in Bible college, I used to cross a place called Haridwar. Haridwar is a very holy place to the Hindus. You must have heard of the Ganges River, where the river Ganges is. You know, there are millions of people come to take a dip in that river just because they think if they take a dip in this river, they'll be holy. Their sins will be cleansed. And the Lord spoke to me, Simon, start a church here in Haridwar. And the moment you enter that city, you know, enter that, you read an inscription that is written, the land of the gods. You know, and they mean it. When they say the land of the gods, they mean it, you know. They have vowed, these people have vowed, never to have a church and never to have a mosque in that area. And every time a missionary or an evangelist has been there, you know, he's never returned to that village again. You know, all these stories I had heard. But the Lord impressed in my heart, you must go. So I thought, Lord, give me a Holy Spirit strategy to go. Give me a strategy. Give me a Holy Spirit strategy that I can be successful. If this is you, then God, I'm willing to go. I'm willing. Whatever happens to me, I'll go. But give me a strategy. So the Lord said to me, to my heart, you know, to feed the people. So I said, okay, Haridwar is the place. So one day, I go and start a church planting first evangelistic meeting. You know, and we go into a village. We ask a man to hold a meeting for us. And he says, okay, I will do it. I cannot tell it is a Christian meeting, but I will tell them, oh, today is my son's birthday. So you all, the villagers, come and we'll eat together. We'll have a party. So that sounds good. So he invited all his people, all the church, all his village people were there, close to 300 people, you know. And I was also there. And I said, okay, before we eat, let me talk to you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. So I said, oh, who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? I said, oh, he's the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars. Then everybody said, oh, we would like to hear. We would like to hear about him. But to my surprise, and I believe this was in the plan of God, there was a close to, say, 100 meters, there was a temple. And that day was the birthday of that goddess. So they had their meeting also there. And the priest was there also. He had a mic and we had a mic. So he was preaching and I was preaching here. You know, and suddenly, you know, when you start a prayer in an evangelistic meeting, you say, in the name of Jesus, we bind every force of evil. We bind the spirit of darkness in the name of Jesus. We command angels. So I prayed that prayer. Simple prayer. Not even knowing what will happen after the prayer. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every power in this village bound in Jesus' name. I, Satan, I bind your power. I command every unclean spirit to come out of all these people in this village. When I prayed this prayer, nothing happened where we were worshiping. But in the temple, the power of God hit the temple. All the believers there started jumping, started manifesting. And they were just rolling down. Some were jumping, some were rolling down. And they were all coming to our meeting. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the power of God. 100 meters, jumping, rolling, they're coming to our meeting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the temple, now there were only 5 people. And we had like 350 people. So the temple priest also comes there to see what is happening here. He thought I'm a man who's performing witchcraft or doing some occult, but he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I prayed for the sick people. Many were healed, delivered. Many gave their life to Jesus Christ. Wonderful end to a service. 2 a.m. in the morning, I was leaving for Dehradun. Suddenly in that village, close to 150, 200 people surround me. I was with a family in my car. They came with kerosene. They came with sticks. All of them, they surrounded my car. And one of them said, "Let's burn him alive. He's speaking against our gods. Our gods are angry with him. Burn him. Kill them." You know? And in my heart, you know, I had the peace of God. No fear in my heart. I was sitting like a king in my car. But my family members, you know, my church family, they were crying. They were weeping, you know. So one of the men, he tried to take the keys out of the car, but he couldn't. The keys automatically fell down. I don't know how the keys fell down, you know. So he couldn't take the keys, so he locked. And I said, so they were doing SMS. They were calling people, you know. They said, snatch their phones. Take their cell phones. They might call the police. But police could no way come because they were like 30 kilometers away out of the village, you know. 2 a.m. in the morning. And all the people were praying for us. So this one man comes, he tries to pull me out of the car, but he couldn't pull me. So he did this to me. That's all he did. And within 15 minutes, I still don't know what happened. Everybody was gone. Everybody gone. There was nobody there. So the driver said, "Come, brother, let's start the car and let's run away from here." Before they changed their mind. So we just drove out of that place, you know. Nothing happened to us. The Lord saved our life that day. But the news of this spread all over Haridwar. And different villages, the news spread. And I was praying. I said, "Lord, you should stir this place. Do notable miracles that will stir Haridwar for Jesus." You know, boldness. I read in the book of Acts, when the disciples of Jesus were threatened, they prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, look at their threats. Can give us boldness to speak your word, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus." So I prayed the spirit anointed prayer, you know. And there were next meeting, I still entered Haridwar. And the next meeting, there was a lady. And she brought a clinically dead child for 2 days. This child was clinically dead. But in her heart, she said, she went to the doctors. She went to all the witchcraft people. She went to the high priest. And everybody said, "No, nothing can be done for your child." And the family members were saying, just bury her. Just bury her. Just burn the child. You are mad. You are emotional. But she said in her heart, "No, I have been everywhere. But once I will go to the Jesus people. They are coming in 2 days. I will take my daughter. I will take my daughter to the Jesus people. Only then I will bury after that." You know, she had the faith to receive a miracle from the Lord. Now in a village, you know, it's very dark. Sometimes there are no lights also. So we use kerosene lamps, all around kerosene lamps, and we burn it. And then we preach the gospel there. And it was a winter time. So everybody is covered with their shawl on their face, and the baby was covered. I didn't know that the baby was dead, because you don't even speak to each other. You don't understand their language. So they just come for prayer. So she was in the line. I just anointed her with prayer, the baby, and the baby goes back home. Nothing happened that time, huh? It's prayed in the name of Jesus. She goes back home, takes the baby home. When she reached home, she wanted to go to the restroom. She puts the baby on the bed. The moment she puts the baby on the bed, the baby cries. The baby began to cry. The husband comes running. "Oh, my baby lives." Then his father came. His mother came. The neighbors heard. In the middle of the night, the whole village was gathered to see the glory of God. A dead child raised in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hello. Now this news spread everywhere. In the name of Jesus, dead are being raised. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, unless these people see signs, unless these people see wonders, they'll by no means believe. You know, even if someone will falsely advertise in India, oh, there is a saint coming, and he does this miracles, thousands will flock to hear him. Thousands will flock, you know, because they crave for the supernatural. They crave to see a miracle. They worship their gods, 33 million gods and goddesses, you know. In India, you have 33 million gods, 33 million goddesses. You have a monkey god, you have a snake god, you have an elephant god, you have a sun god, you have a moon god, you have a wealth god. Everything there is a god. But after doing so much worship and sacrifice, they have no peace. They have no joy. They have no happiness. There is a vacuum. There is an emptiness inside of them. I met a woman. She was a multi-billionaire, you know, and she had some back problem. She couldn't stand. She couldn't walk, you know, and she was telling me, Simon, I could buy the best comfortable bed available, you know, but I can't buy sleep. I haven't slept for 12 years. I have not slept. From 12 years, I've been medication. Never slept. I have no peace. I have no joy. You know? And she had never read the Bible. She had never read the Bible. But that night when I spoke to her about Jesus, she saw in a dream that many people are going up. Jesus has come and people are going up into heaven. And she was left behind. The next day she calls me and she said, Simon, please come. Tell me this story about Jesus. What is happening here? You know, I want to know about Jesus. And when I spoke to her, showed her from the Bible about the coming of the Lord, about the rapture of the saints, you know, she gave her life to the Lord. She gave her life. And she got healed. After 3 days, the Lord healed her. And she lives in some further country in Antarctica or something. And she became a real witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? So the Lord is doing some awesome works. In India, according to the census, we have 3% Christians. According to the census. But I'm going to surprise you. If now they do a census, they will be surprised. Because by thousands, people are coming to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is doing some awesome miracles. Just, you know, like in the Bible, I was just reading. I went to brother's office and read the book of Acts. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. My servant, my maid servant, my hand servant, maidens will prophesy. There's a spirit of prophecy. The spirit of word of knowledge in the church. I remember there's one Chotu. Chotu is a small boy that works for you. So you call him Chotu. And Chotu loves Jesus. You know? He used to attend evangelical meetings with me. Now he goes to a park to do exercises. He's doing exercises. His friend is also exercising. Suddenly the spirit of God comes upon him. And he says, listen, you had a 3-month-old baby. And he died. He jumps down. He says, how do you know this? How do you know this? Only my wife knows. Only I know. I haven't told my mother because she's old. She will die of heart attack. Only I know. My wife knows. How do you know? You know what he did? He opened his jacket. Put it down. He said, sit. Please sit. And pray for me. The moment they began to pray, the Holy power came upon this man. He fell to the ground. Unclean spirits began to come out of his bodies. Now this is a park where people do exercises. Open air. And this is a 17 years old boy. You know, without the Holy Spirit, that's not possible. So all the people in the park, what happened? What happened? What happened? So this man stands up. He says, I don't know what happened. But all I know is I feel so free. I'm so light. I wanted to kill myself. Me and my wife, after our baby died, we wanted to die. But now I have changed our mind. We'll go for another baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was another girl. She was like 15 years of age. I'm just telling you how the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon people, you know, bringing people to the Lord. But she goes to a family who never liked Jesus. She would never believe in prayers. She'd never believe in miracles. Now this girl goes, this is very funny. So she sits there and she sees staring at the lady. Then she begins to laugh. Everybody says, what has happened to her? Why is she laughing? Then his other older sister said, why are you laughing? He says, I see her stomach this big. She said, in the spirit, I see her stomach like this. So I'm laughing. You know what? She never had a baby for 7 years. She never had a baby. In the spirit, the Lord showed her, she's going to get pregnant and she's going to have a baby. After 1 month, after that meeting, she became pregnant. She was from a Hindu family and the Lord blessed her with a baby. Hallelujah. When she got pregnant, her whole family came to the Lord. Her whole family. Because they wanted a baby. Nobody in the family had a baby. There was a generation curse upon that family. But the Lord blessed them with a baby. Hallelujah. I'll end one story and then I will end. Okay? This is very powerful. One day we went to Bihar. And I just want to share how the Lord's divine protection is upon your life, you know. And my name is like Simon. Whenever I go to a Muslim place, I write Simon Abdul Haq. I use the name of my grandfather. He was a Muslim. He was a Maulvi. He was a Muslim priest and he gave his life to the Lord. So I went to a village and this is a Hindu and a Muslim village. And I didn't know about it. The pastor didn't tell me, oh, this is a Hindu village or this is a Muslim village. So we entered into the village. So the name was there, Simon Abdul Haq. So these Muslim brothers, they made a plan. They said, oh, he's a Muslim. And he gave his life to Jesus. He's a traitor. You say in Urdu, you say you're a kafir. A kafir is the one who betrayed Muhammad, you know. We must kill him. So they planned to kill me. So one of them vouched, you know, said, okay, I will take the knife. And when he's there standing, I will go and put the knife through his body, you know. So that was planned. But we didn't know anything about their plan. So there was one pastor. He was very, very, very joyful man of the Lord. So he comes and he says, let's go and have a prayer walk. We'll do a prayer walk. So he takes a tambourine and he goes around the village dancing, singing. And he crosses the Muslim village too. So the Muslim says, oh, I think they know about our plan. What are they doing? Why are they coming in a village, dancing, singing, praying, praising God? So they were scared, but still they went ahead with the plan. So I was preaching the gospel. This man was staring at me, drinking every word that I had to say. And then he comes up. He was in the line, so he comes up for prayer. He says, you know, I have a lump in my nose. Please pray. And he had a lump, you know. So I prayed. I said, in the name of Jesus, Spirit of God came upon him. He just went down on the floor. For 4 minutes, he was done. The moment he wake up, he started hugging me, crying on my shoulder. Then he says, listen, he takes my hand and he said, look, what is this? I said, what is this? He said, this is a knife. I had come to kill you, but I can't. I saw Jesus dying on the cross. I saw Jesus' blood coming out of his hands, out of his legs. I cannot take your blood. Jesus' blood I saw. I give my life to Jesus. You know, next day he comes and he sits in the meeting. 15 people come and they beat him in the middle of the meeting. They kick him, they beat him badly, and they take him away from the meeting. So after we finished this meeting in this place, I was just leaving that city, that village. So he was standing behind the tree, hiding, and he was waving at me. Bye-bye, bye-bye. You know, Within say 14 days after I left that village, I read a letter from him. Brother, I have left my home. I've left my family. I don't know where will I go, but I've given my life to Jesus Christ. Even if I die, I will see you in heaven. That's what he wrote. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for having me this morning. These are the few of the stories I had to share with you. You know? Yes.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand across this room right now and let's just give God praise. Can we? Can we just praise the Lord? Lord, we thank you right now for what you're doing in India. God, that you're allowing us to be a part of what you're doing, Lord, right here. Lord, in our home, in our town, Lord, in our community, in our state, in our country. God, thank you for allowing us to be a part of what is happening around the world. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's amazing to me. You hear that story. This man is willing to give his life. Sarah, if you would come to the music. I know it's late. Some of you may be wanting to leave. That's fine. But this man loses everything. When he gave his life to Jesus. Did you catch all of that? They drag him out, about 15 men, and they're beating him because he's decided, I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what. And this morning, in this room, there are some, you have things that are holding on to you. When you stand before the Lord, there's not going to be an excuse. That man gave up everything. Gave up everything for Christ. There's nothing in your life worth more than Jesus. While Simon was speaking today, I was thinking, God, is there someone in this room that the Lord would want to use, whether it be here or another country? Is there someone here that'll say, God, I'll be used. I'll let you use me. Amen. Even in unbelief, I love when he told about the deaf man being healed. No, you're not. You're lying. Even in our unbelief, when we're willing to say, Lord, I give myself completely to you. Whatever you want to do in my life. We're going to just open the altars. Anyone that would like to come and pray and stay in the presence of God for a period of time, however you feel led to do. But if you feel like you need to come and pray, we want you to come and pray. Amen. But let's all reverently leave this morning. There's plenty of room in the foyer for fellowship. Let's find ourselves someplace to talk to the Lord for however long you feel led that you need to do that. But let's talk to the Lord this morning. Let's pray. God, what can we do as this week progresses? Lord, what can we do to help these ministries so that the gospel goes to people? Does that break your heart? I know everyone that's a real believer in this room this morning, it breaks your heart to think that the people that don't, they haven't heard about our Jesus. Amen. So let's be praying. God, what can we do to make a difference in this world? Amen. Let's find ourselves a place. Let's pray. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I need a miracle.